It's time for Breaking Bread with Papa.
Hey!
Don't you know?
Hey!
It's our goal.
Hey!
It's time for Breaking Bread with Papa.
Hey!
Don't you know?
Hey!
It's also a show.
Hey!
Hey, everybody. Welcome to another edition of Breaking Bread with Tom Papa. I am Tom Papa. Thank you for joining us here at the table. We're very excited to be back in the studio. I just wrapped up a great conversation with our good friend Ricky Velez, who's a great comedian, actor. You know him from The King of Staten Island. He has a new stand-up special that is coming out on HBO Max. It is out now, by the time you hear this, called Here's Everything. He's very, very funny. He's one of those guys that when I was in New York and some of the established comics like Colin Quinn were like, yeah, do you know Ricky? You should know Ricky. You really should be in tune with this guy, which is always a great sign. There's always when grizzled comedians are like, "Yep, another one here. Here's one that's going to stick around." Then you know it's worth paying attention to. Really had a great time with him. He's very talented. He's from New York. We got the rare appearance of him here in Los Angeles, and it's. You're really going to enjoy it. As we're moving into the colder periods, the colder months, I know that, you know, I bake a ton of bread, and we share a lot of bread with you on this, and we send you over to my YouTube channel where people actually follow my directions and make bread, and that is really where you should stay. I get things where I go like to the New York Times cooking and all these different things. And everybody at this time of year is like, you should really soups. This is the time for soups. And if you bake bread, Tom, you should learn how to make soups. And if you can learn how to make really good soup, then you actually learn how to do all sorts of cooking, because soup is the basis. Soup is the, I get it. I'm not making it. I'm not making soup. It's too much. There's too much work. There's too much to put into it. I know there's more simple ones. You know what? I'm just declaring that there are some things that you should buy. There's some things that you should get from others. And there's some things you do yourself. And we all have our different path. We all have our different ways. If you make soup, I'll eat it. If you point me to some restaurant that has good soup, I'll buy it. I'm not making it. It's too much. It's too much work. We all have our little expertise, and I'm sticking with the baking. I'm sticking with the Italian cooking. You can have your soups. A minestrone, the Italian master soup, still not making it. It's not going to be my thing. For Ricky, I baked him bread. And then decided not to give him bread because he's in a hotel. He's running around. He's doing things. He's doing a bunch of podcasts. I regret it. I probably should have just given it to him. Why am I determining what he's going to do with it? But I know for a fact that when people give it to you on the road, it's not really the best thing. And to be honest, I didn't want him to like eat a little bit of it and be like, yeah, that was good. And then the bread is, you know. I'll give it to him in New York. He's going to do my live Come to Papa show, which is so great. It's a great conversation. I hope you enjoy it. This is Ricky Velez. Enjoy and go watch his special. You've seen him on Crashing. You've seen him on Masters of None. You've seen him on The King of Staten Island, where he really stole the show and the scenes that he was in. And now his stand-up special. Here's everything. And here's our conversation. Enjoy. Well, this is so great. We get to do this. This Tom, is so nice to be at the
amazing.
Table. Cheers. Let's cheers.
We got
our coffee.
To do the over Zoom and then this.
Mm-hmm. Which, as much as like the doing the Zoom thing seems like, yeah, this works. This is good.
No, it's not. I like saw what you posted.
Oh, really?
Me on the Zoom. I have it underneath my chin. It's hard for me to look fat, but on Zoom, every time it happens, I look terrible.
Well, welcome to my world.
Stop.
Every angle you put, you're like, oh, jeez.
Tom. Oh.
It's so funny. So it's good, though. I mean, you were in New York last I talked to you, and now you're out here making the rounds. Like, this is it's a big deal. It's a big deal to have an HBO special and have people out there wanting to spread the word and talk to you. It's
yeah,
cool.
It's been a lot of fun.
So when you were landing, when you're landing in LA, when you're flying in, and you're like, it's a different feeling when you've got something in the bag. It's something that's coming out.
Well, LA just feels different now.
Uh huh.
LA feels like hanging out with a canceled comedian, where you're just like, "Are we still doing this? Do you guys? Are you working? Like, what's happening?" Like, it's very uncomfortable. It's changed a lot. I haven't been here in 2 years.
Oh, really?
Yeah, with pandemic and the rest of it. The last time we were here, we were watching the locked cut of King of Staten Island.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. It is such a weird thing that we all have to add in that 2 year,
yeah,
like just well, of course then we have that yeah, that pause. It's so bizarre, but it really does count. It does count. So what do you mean it's weird? Like when you what are you feeling?
I just like it feels. I always feel like LA is isolated, mm-hmm. and it even feels more isolated than that because I mean I went to like a restaurant yesterday and it's just like I feel like LA is still like 8 months behind like New York
pandemic wise.
Yeah
100%. I when you're here you just kind of like, oh, this is just the way it is, and then traveling anywhere else, mm-hmm. you come back, you're like, oh yeah, no, we're in lockdown.
Yeah.
why are we in lockdown? Everyone else is moving on.
I took a picture of the FedEx line yesterday and it's like people standing 6 feet apart from each other down the wall, and I was like, oh, what, just drop off your box and leave. What are you guys doing?
I know,
we've gotten through this. Yeah, in New York. Why are you still I feel bad.
I feel bad too. We're all vaccinated, just let us roll. Let it go. I know. We were very protective. It'll be interesting to see what the numbers are at the end. Like, did it make sense to be that protective? Or it's probably all going to even out.
That's going to be funny that there's just, like, projections.
Yeah.
Of
dead people.
The numbers.
I know, exactly.
Oh, we did good.
We did good. We have far fewer dead people than Florida had. But I bet it's all going to be kind of close at the end. And no one just understood what it was.
No.
But that aside, let's get the troubles out of the way.
Yes.
I know just from experience that there are times when you come out here early in your career and you're on the plane and you're like, LA, geez, what the hell? I don't know what's happening. I don't know where, no one knows me. I got to try and do something. And it's a very different feeling when you're on the approach to LAX and you're seeing the city below you and you know you've kind of done something. Like you've shot your special and it's like coming out. It's like there's a different calm and joy, really,
yeah.
That you've ticked up.
Yes.
Right?
And I'm somebody that only comes out here to work.
Right.
I don't like to spend a lot of time here.
Yeah.
And when I do, I always stay with, like, friends because I do the back to the isolating part of this.
Right.
Because I don't drive.
You don't?
No, I retired.
You grew up...
No, I used to drive. I lived at the edge of Queens, so people did have cars and whatnot.
Right.
And then I just got to a place where I was like, I'm retiring. I'm not
you
driving.
Did?
Yeah, I don't like driving anymore.
That's so great.
Right?
Yeah. Because you can...
My wife hates it.
Does she?
Yeah, everybody hates
so
it.
So does she ever look at you and be like, can't you just go pick the kids up?
No. Yeah, I can get in an Uber and go get them.
What made you do this?
The responsibility of driving is a lot. What if I get in an accident?
Mm-hmm.
I don't like the possibility. Let it be somebody else.
I've been thinking about it recently because here in LA where I'm driving around, at night, people just walk in the middle of the streets. Like people.
Really?
Yeah. In all black clothing, skittering across the street like squirrels. And you know, I don't want to run someone over. I don't want that on my resume.
You need the Tesla.
I do have the Tesla.
Self-driving.
I do, but it doesn't...
That doesn't stop with still, people?
I think they're waiting for the update. But ninja people is not one of the things it breaks for.
Okay.
Yeah. All right.
Yeah, that's the...
But I feel what you're feeling. Like, I don't want the responsibility of...
No, and you know what? There's so many people, especially out here, just like smoking pot so casually that like I don't want to be... responsible to drive next to him.
Yeah.
And I like smoking pot.
Yeah.
So I retired. Also, my license expired in the midst of pandemic, and I was like, I'm not going to the DMV. Like, my wife was like, fix it. I was like, I'm retired.
That's so brilliant. I love when people come up with things and you're just like, can you do that? Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, that's like, oh, I could just retire from driving. That sounds pretty great.
I'm going to retire from a lot, I decided.
Are you?
Yeah.
Yeah, that sounds good. Let's go through the list.
Marriage? No, I'm kidding. Stand up at one point? No, probably not.
Mark Maron is always laugh. Is always making jokes about that. He would always be like, "Are we allowed to stop? can we stop? Is that in the cards?"
It was one of my favorite Nate Bargatze jokes. He goes, "Even if I wanted to quit, who do I call?" And it was before Cosby was Cosby now, but he was like, "Do I call Mr. Cosby? I'm done," and then hang up.
Yeah, and does anybody notice? Like, how long would it take?
How many people have you seen quit comedy and no one cares?
Yeah.
It happens a lot.
It does happen a lot. I mean, go to any comedy club and look up on the wall of all those pictures, black and white shots of all the comedians that came through there, and there's a handful.
Either they're dead or teaching a yoga class.
Yeah.
Everybody goes really healthy once they quit comedy.
Yeah, or sell real estate.
Yeah.
There's a lot of realtors. Yeah, what else could you retire from? I would like to retire from... I like traveling. Do you like traveling like when other people are doing it? Like
going to on vacation or during our job?
Doing our job.
I don't like that part.
You don't?
No. I like being home a lot.
Yeah.
I would get a stair lift and stop doing stairs.
Ooh, retire from stairs.
Yeah.
That's a pretty good one. I was watching this documentary on Netflix about, what was his name? Damn it. I'm going to space on his name. He was the Mr. Olympia for 8 times. Giant Powell's, I'm spacing. But he was like this massive man. Like he was the Adonis. He was like the biggest muscly Mr. Olympia.
I think I've seen the cover. It's on Netflix?
Yeah, it's on Netflix.
The gray.
He can't walk. He's just like, and he's got stairs in his house, and he's got to like hop up. He's got this great attitude, but it's rough to watch. And it was like, the whole time I'm watching the thing, I'm just like, get a ranch. Get a one floor ranch.
The day you see me Instagram me on a stair lift, I've made way too much money.
With just a big joint hanging out of your mouth, sunglasses on.
As my kid walks next to me up it.
It's great. Nate, you have how old is your kid?
He's 3.
3.
Yeah, he's so cool.
What a good age.
He's so fun now.
Yeah.
And the first 2 years was all about mom, and now it's all about me, and he thinks I'm the coolest.
Oh, really?
So, yeah.
Oh, that's great.
It's fun.
It's amazing. I was just putting up Halloween decorations by myself because my kids are now 16 and 19.
Wow.
And I was like, oh, man, when they were 3...
Like
you break
fun.
Open the box and you're like, "There, oh yeah, this is great. Everything's like a mystery. Everything's wonderful." And it was great. And it was a nice
And run. Now they just like go tear up the neighborhood and shaving cream and do shitty things.
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
They're just like, "No, Dad, you can decorate, but we're going to buy a provocative Halloween costume and go out."
You have a girl.
I've got 2 girls.
Two girls. Yeah. Wow.
Yeah, totally different vibe.
I imagine. I was 3 boys.
You were, oh, really?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a madhouse.
Yeah, it was fun.
Where are you in the 3?
Middle.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
How was the older one?
He was the best.
Really?
Yeah, he did everything good.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah. I was trouble, and the younger one was his own thing.
Oh, yeah.
But he's a lot younger than me and my older brother.
Oh, yeah, like a reboot?
Yeah.
Right?
The remix.
The remix.
Which is funny because he's a DJ.
Is he?
Yeah.
That's funny. So who did the cooking when you were 3?
Mom
did?
Mom. She was one of those people that would just make a giant baked ziti at the beginning of the week.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
What's your ethnic background?
I'm Irish and Puerto Rican.
Irish and Puerto Rican.
Yeah.
That's a good combo.
It's not.
It's a very New York combo.
Oh, yeah. You don't see that anywhere else.
No.
It's a, yeah.
I was thinking, I was working on a joke about how any joke you have about any ethnicity that, you know, that's very tricky and people are, you know, are going to trigger. And even if you're complimenting, they just hear something and they want to attack you for it. Just replace whatever ethnic group you're talking about or race or sexuality or whatever with Irish. because they're the only ones that don't care and keep laughing at themselves. You know what I mean?
Absolutely. They're a very easy target.
Yeah. You want to make a big penis joke about an Irishman? He'll roll with it.
Someone had it that they're the Puerto Ricans of whites. Someone's joke is that. It's very funny. Yeah, yeah. I've heard it before.
Oh, that's cool. So what part of that culture did you feel more growing up?
It was both sides.
Yeah.
Both sides were around. But I mean, they're both very like intense.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Passionate.
And my wife is like Jewish. So it's like, I had like the most intense, like growing up, and then her family's just calm and nice.
Just chill. Got it all figured out.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I know Jewish families. And I, whenever I say this to my Jewish friends, they kind of like, you don't know the real story. But from the outside, it seems like they have so many, as a culture, they have so many things figured out. Like mm-hmm. they really do. They grieve the right way. They marry the right way.
Puerto Rican funerals. Have you ever been to one?
No.
Oh my God. They put the fun in funeral. It's incredible. I've been to a funeral with a fight.
Oh yeah.
And they love taking pictures with the body. It's amazing. Just like.
No.
Yes, I swear on everything.
Really?
Yeah, I've seen I've seen it numerous times.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
They love taking pictures with the body. Well, the Irish leave the bodies out for a long time too.
Yeah.
Traditionally they do.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Right? Like 5-day wakes.
My grandfather on my Puerto Rican side was that long.
Was it really?
Yeah, and then we did it in Queens.
Mm-hmm.
And then we did it in Puerto Rico.
Whoa.
Yeah, it was long. And my aunt kept trying to change his clothing. And by the time they
Wait. You did it in Queens and then you did it in Puerto Rico?
Yeah.
The body showed up in Puerto Rico?
Yeah, I had to go on the plane.
No.
Yeah.
And then was put out? Like,
yeah.
Was shown?
Yeah, yeah.
Whoa. He went on tour?
He did a couple different spots, yeah. And by the time he got to, my aunt wanted to change his clothes again once we got to Puerto Rico.
Uh-huh.
And the funeral guy was like, yo, like, you can't change him again or things are going to start falling off. Like,
oh, yeah.
Stop this.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, yeah.
Think more than his pants are going to come off. Oh, that's terrible.
Yeah.
Wow. But it worked? Like, I guess everybody there wanted to see him?
Yeah. Yeah. No, absolutely. Yeah. It was long, too.
Wow.
They'd be all day.
We're Italian, and we're kind of like in the middle of that. Like,
you're Jersey Italian.
Jersey Italian.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, and yeah, they would have the wakes and stuff, but it seems like it's falling out of favor now. Like it's going to...
COVID really did a number on funerals.
Yeah, everyone's just getting cremated and...
just kind of send flowers.
Right, exactly. Send flowers or money to a charity that
yeah.
you say you're going to send to and don't.
Oh, it's not just me.
Yeah, no. Yeah, yeah, we should put a tree up in Bob's honor. Have we done that yet?
I thought about it, so I'm a good person.
Yeah, so that's why I brought you some Italian pastries.
Ah.
This is from Monte Carlo here in Burbank. And you can take these to your hotel and do what you want with them. Or you can eat them now, whatever you want.
I'm just going to show up to another podcast with them and be like, look what I brought. Yeah.
Or just show up and be like, well, Tom gave me these.
Yeah.
I don't know what
do
you guys.
Have?
Yeah. What do you have? But yeah, it was big Italian. So Irish and Puerto Rican, and she's making a big baked ziti. So,
yeah.
So if you mix Puerto Rican and Irish, do you get Italian?
I mean... we were just Queens. I always say this about Queens. It's the most diverse borough in New York City. So, like, it was, like, all types of food, always.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And
my mom was born and raised Queens. My dad's Bronx.
Right. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's just New York permeating everything. Was most of the food Italian?
We ate a lot of Italian.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Was she a good cook?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's
good. She was also, like, her rice and beans were incredible, too.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, man. That's, yeah. See, then you get a couple different... Yeah, your mom was cooking Queens.
Yeah,
she was
basically,
right?
Yeah, that's what we had.
So why were you the wild child? You just born that way?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah. I wasn't allowed to sleep outside, like sleep over people's houses because my parents knew I'd leave.
Right.
So like until I was 18, I never slept at someone's house.
Because you did it once. And
because my parents were like, you're going to go do something and we're going to get sued. So you come home every night.
At what age did you start realizing, Or even did you realize? At what age do you think you just started acting out?
Well into like junior high on.
Junior high.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because it was fun.
Yeah. It was a lot of fun.
Yeah.
Yeah. I did like bad things and it was fun.
What kind of things?
I don't know. Like me and my friend were real wild. He actually ended up robbing a bank. I had a friend that robbed a bank.
Robbed a bank?
Well, tried to.
Really?
Tried to.
Tried to. It was like Dog Day Afternoon in Queens. Yeah. Was it in Queens?
He actually did it because we lived on the border of Queens and Long Island. He did it in Long Island.
So he went over to Long. How old is he when he's a bank robber?
Ooh, 25, 26.
Oh boy. So he's real.
Yeah. But this was, yeah. No, well, no, he was high and on heroin. He got caught up with the whole, it was really sad.
Oh, jeez.
But he burnt down his like grandfather's garage too. Like, these are the people I used to, it's funny.
Yeah. Do you know the details of him robbing the bank?
It's kind of sad.
Is it?
Yeah. He was too high and asked for a certain amount of money and then nodded out until the police came. So it was like no one was scared in the bank. Everybody was just like, what's happening?
The guy's got his hands up and then all of a sudden, I can probably put them down now. Oh, that's terrible.
Yeah.
That's a bank robbery. Oh, that's too bad.
No.
Is he alive?
Yeah.
He is?
Yeah.
Is he free?
I don't know. I heard he's doing better the last time I saw like family friends.
That is the worst one. That is the worst. It's just like a lifelong affliction for 99% of people that get caught up in it.
That hit our neighborhoods really bad.
Yeah.
All that pill stuff. Yeah. I actually lost a friend from it too.
Yeah. We all have.
Yeah.
It's just, it's the worst, you know? And it's amazing that the pill thing is, I mean, the numbers are equal to what COVID was.
That's crazy. I did not know that.
Yeah. And it's like, so you're going to, why wasn't the alarm bells going off for all of that?
Years ago, too.
Slow. It was creeping. It was creeping in.
Just but that was the thing. Like, everybody from, like, Queens, like, where I was from was like, we got to move out of this neighborhood. It's not good. And then they moved into Long Island and got these pill addictions.
Right. Yeah, higher class addiction.
It was crazy.
And that, yeah. So when you were you into drugs when you were a kid?
No.
That's good.
No.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I've only really...
That's really the key.
Yeah.
That really is the key. Like, you know, we were all nutso when we were little and running around and my friends were the same, like delinquents and that kind of thing. But if you stayed off drugs, you had a shot. And the couple of guys that didn't, you know, their lives were derailed.
Yeah.
Right.
But I mean, like, you can get away with doing something bad and the cops will give you a slap on the wrist. Mm-hmm. But the minute you have like drugs on you, you're done.
Yeah. Yeah. Toast.
Yeah.
So you just ran around and
ran around with my friends and just like we
just
were
regular kids,
like
stuff?
Bayside Queens and whatnot,
right.
And starting fights and, you know, just
so where's the creative part of you? Where did that start?
Junior high school. There was a drama program. And then I ended up going to that Frank Sinatra School of the Arts in high school.
Wow, that's great. Yeah. I didn't know you went there.
Yeah.
Cool. I talked to someone recently that went there. Someone else?
Richards at the Comedy Cellar, who's a host there now,
right.
Went there. But Seinfeld spoke at our first. I thought I told you this.
Yes.
Our first graduation.
Right. Yeah. Oh, that's the coolest.
And he murdered. That was cool. Yeah. He killed.
Did he really?
Yeah.
What year would that have been?
I graduated 2007. It was the first class, so it was my brother's age. So 2004?
Okay.
2005.
Yeah. And he killed.
He murdered. He closed with telling them take the FDR over he had like driving directions.
Right.
And he just walked off on that and it was great.
He's the master.
He's unbelievable.
Yeah, so good. So were you thinking when you in junior high and they have that program, were you thinking comedy at all?
No. But we were writing nothing but like silly sketches and performing them in front of the class. Like that's as far as the theater program went.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
We did like one performance a year that was like done at night.
Uh-huh.
And other than that, like...
Yeah. Were you a fan of comedy as a kid?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. My older brother introduced me to all of it.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Yeah. He, like, Daily Show was like his first thing that he was obsessed with. And then, you know, they, dude, yours, the half hours when they used to just play them
right.
until the Daily
Central.
Show came on
right.
at, in the afternoon. So I used to sit there and just watch those with him.
Oh, that's the coolest.
Yeah.
So at what point do you think, or do you step out and do it solo?
19.
Where at?
New York Comedy Club when right. Al Martin still owned it.
Oh, right, right, right. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Right. So what made you, where was your head at? Like, why?
I had dropped out of college at this point.
Okay.
I went to a college that is now closed.
Oh, really?
Yeah. It no longer exists. So from there, I started, I tried to join the military. That didn't work out.
Right.
And then I was just laying carpet for my buddy's company.
Right.
And, I was miserable, and at nights when I wasn't working, because we usually worked nights, yeah. I would just try to go do stand-up.
Yeah. So that's a very tumultuous time. If your school's not working out and you're kind of flailing a little bit, right?
Oh,
you're,
beyond, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. At what, do you have, at that point, did you have confidence, like desperately I want to figure out what's happening, or was it overwhelming, like I'm getting lost here?
I kind of knew I was good at it.
You did?
When I did stand up, yeah, within the first couple times, like, because you know you do those bringers and whatnot.
Yeah.
And then I slowly, like, they had an intern program through New York Comedy Club and Broadway Comedy Club,
right?
And within like a couple months I was already getting intern spots,
right?
So I was, and then I started doing that.
So that's
then,
the solve. That's like when you're,
I didn't need,
when you're confused or, and stuff, yeah. As soon as you go up and you realize, ah, wait a minute, this might be the spot.
Yeah,
right.
It's because I was also like on those bringer shows, they would sprinkle in pros, and then
right.
like sooner or later one came to me and was like, you should try to get an internship over at the Broadway. And that's what happened, and I ended up working for Broadway.
Right.
And my deal with them was if I worked there, I got to do every show.
Right.
And they had three rooms.
Right.
So I sat there for 3 years doing three shows a night and making money taking tickets as
right.
well.
Right. Oh, that's perfect.
Yeah.
Goodbye,
and Mike Vecchione told me, he was like, stay here. Do not try to go to other clubs. Just
right.
get a good 5 minutes down. And I just stayed there for 3 years.
It's so remarkable. It really, just you saying that, like Mike knowing, like, you know, when you see all these people like going through and trying to make it, trying to tell jokes, trying to find their way in the very beginning.
Mm-hmm.
But it's very clear who has the stuff, even without the jokes, even with, right? You know what I mean? Like, it's
in
it's,
a way when you it's see pretty, somebody,
like, yeah,
you
like
see
Vecchione
somebody.
Seeing you is like, that is a very, I mean, it happens repeatedly, but there's just something in that raw, unmanufactured thing that,
yeah.
that comedian, it has the elements. There's a lot of work that has to be done. That's him telling you don't go for a bit to other clubs, but you know that it has all the raw materials.
Yeah,
everything's in the box.
Yeah. But yeah, you just see that thing. Like, there's this new kid, Peter James Fowler,
uh-huh.
and he's so funny, and like, but he's just so young, like,
right.
you just know he just needs the time and he's gonna be incredible.
Right.
Yeah,
really.
Yeah There's a lot of people that, yeah. like, right away, and this kid has only been in the city for a year. He's already doing regular spots.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah.
Yeah. See, that's what I mean. It's such a, it's a unique thing. It's very rare that someone is like, people are ignoring, or, you know, he doesn't have it, and then it emerges.
Yeah.
It at least has the kernels of it, you know?
So I sat, and yeah. I sat, and then the first club I got, like, actually passed without working at the club was uh-huh. the Comic Strip.
Oh, that's so fun.
Yeah.
Oh, that room. How long were you there?
The Comic Strip, I've for a long time.
Yeah.
And I started out hosting. And then I got past the Caroline's and I was hosting there and whatnot. And then once I got into the Cellar, I never hosted again.
Right. Oh, that's great.
Like, SD has never even asked me to host.
Oh, really?
I was like, okay, I guess I don't do this anymore.
That's good.
Yeah.
Because you learn a lot from hosting. I mean, it definitely... It equals out your voice, like
mm-hmm.
your regular thing to your... There's so many benefits.
Plus, you
it.
Need to know a certain level of crowd work.
Yeah, yeah. And that crowd work is a way to bridge between now I'm doing my act and now I'm talking mm-hmm. to you. Like, it evens all that out, which is valuable because you have to be natural up there.
Yeah, but yeah. I also don't like... not that I don't like, but it's hard when I see hosts only doing the crowd work, because then they're 100%. Not ready for an act.
Right, exactly.
And I do believe in the act.
Well, there are people that are going to remain hosts, right?
Yes.
That is their thing. That is their thing, you know, and they're gonna do that. But yeah, no, you're right. Did just people? Someone give you that advice early on, or were you thinking
what the act?
Yeah, like, that
I'm, like, I think this is, I think I've heard Seinfeld aware? Say it.
Yeah.
He talked about the act and like what that means and what it was. And I was like, oh, okay, that's what you do.
Right. So when you are knocking around New York, who are your buddies?
It's me, Pete Davidson, and Jordan Rock.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, we were like the closest of like, and we would run around together, and we were just like these young kids,
right?
Kind of playing an adult game,
right?
And some people loved us, some people didn't.
Uh huh.
Yeah,
that makes sense.
There was a lot of people that didn't.
I remember one time being on Opie and Anthony. I don't know what version it was, like who was gone, and Pete was on, and it was the first time I had met him, and it was like me and I don't know, maybe Colin, maybe a couple other people, and at one point, and we were all just comedians doing that, and someone made a joke or something, and Pete made some joke to the effect of, well, yeah, I mean, you're all, I guess that's true if you're all old comedians. And it was, you know, it was really fun. But it really kind of like, I was like, he's right. Like, we're not all the same age. Like, comedians always think you're the same. And Pete was like, no, man, I am 30 years younger than you, I think.
I made the mistake once, and I'm not going to say his name. We'll talk about it afterwards. But there is a comic that was once a teacher.
Uh-huh.
And he was a teacher while I was in elementary school at my elementary school, and he was like the para of my class.
Oh, really?
And I told him that, and I swear to God, I might as well have told him that I slept with his mom the way he reacted. And I was just like, whoa, man, just trying to relate. Like, I like your comedy.
I love you, Mr. Johnson.
Yeah. Yeah, I was only calling him by his last name still.
Mr. Johnson, do you mind if I go on before you?
But now that I think about it, like, it would infuriate me if a young person did that to me.
I don't know. Maybe. I don't know. I think for me, and maybe this is because I'm on that other side of it, is that when I would always watch comics, I knew when I was a young comic watching older comedians like come out, like we're older, like, you know, like Mel Brooks or those kind of guys. Yeah. And I remember watching and thinking, oh, this is a game that can keep getting better the older you get. Like there is these people, you know, in the beginning you're funny and you've got this stuff, but you don't have that much life experience. And you can progress. It's not like music where you show up cool and you have to maintain that level of, you have to be that guy, and then, you know, you become Madonna, you know, like trying to still be that sexy version of yourself. Comedians are, you can kind of, they do kind of age.
But at the same time, there's still a good group that just tries to hold on to it.
Yeah. You mean comedians?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, if they're the version of, you mean like if they show up and they're young and cool and they're, right. I guess I took comfort in because I always felt like I was a 40-year-old man when I showed up at 20.
20, okay, yeah, no, that makes sense.
You know what I mean?
I would say you're ageless.
Yeah, thank
you're
you.
You're ageless. There's a few guys like that. Nick Griffin.
Yeah.
Another guy that, like, I couldn't tell you how old Nick Griffin.
It's really true.
there's a bunch of it.
Yeah, my wife always asks me, like, she's always kind of tuned into age, and she'll always be like, she'll be like, how old is Sarah? You know, whoever the comedian is. I'm like, no idea. I never even thought of that, about that.
But your age is how long you've been in it.
Yeah. That was something that Seinfeld said in the comedian documentary. With Mario Joyner. Mario Joyner says that. He goes, yeah, but comedians, you're basically as old as you've been in comedy, as long as you've been in comedy.
It goes back to, like, I always talk about him because he was one of my favorite, but, like, Mike DiStefano.
Mm-hmm.
Like, He was 10 yeah. years in when things started like exploding for
yeah.
him. And he was just like the best.
Yeah,
and
the
like,
best.
And he was so fast. He knew who he was the minute he got into comedy.
Yeah.
He didn't need to search.
God, man, he was around for so short a time.
It was crazy.
Crazy. That was really an upsetting one.
He was such
one.
A badass, too. He would just park his motorcycle in front of the club on the yeah. sidewalk. It was like, oh, this guy's the fucking man.
The best.
Yeah.
Oh, that was so sad. He was so explosive.
Hard not to watch.
Yeah. Right, exactly. Yeah. Yeah. What's he going to do? What's happening now?
Yeah.
So when you show up, who is the intimidating people that were at the Cellar at the time? Because like, when you first get there... Oh. It was like when
that was 6 years ago.
It was yeah,
yeah,
right. And
Keith was still healthy. Yeah. Norden was still around.
Yeah.
No, those guys. It was those guys.
Right.
But at the same time, like I was coming in with the nightly show.
Right.
And everybody was trying to get spots
mm-hmm.
on the nightly show.
Ah, nice.
So there was a lot of people nicer to me.
Right.
I'd show up with Larry a lot.
That's great.
Yeah. But no, I mean, I've taken my fair share of lickings at that table.
Sure.
And
sure.
I actually got to sit at the original table.
Yeah. Right before it all.
And I never hung out there before I was passed there.
Yeah, me neither.
Gave me a lot of anxiety. I didn't want to become a target.
No, exactly. Who comedically, though, like when you would see people on stage where you're like, oh, shit, I got work to do.
Oh,
Attell is always one
Attell's
of them for everybody.
And you know, it was cool for a long time. Me and Attell were going back to back. But of course,
right.
like, the guys that were doing it anywhere, like Greer Barnes.
Yeah.
And Esty for a long time would make me follow Greer. Like
really?
I really think it was her just testing and being like,
right.
get this, get here, get, yeah.
That's
She's
a tough
really
follow.
Good at, oh, he's one of the worst bombs I've ever taken was following him during a check spot at the Broadway Comedy Club.
Uh-huh.
And a guy in a suit stood up and he went, it's just not yours today. It's just not yours today. And I put the mic back in the stand and I was like, you're right. And I walked off.
I love that.
I know what that guy's face looks like. If I ever saw him on the subway, I know exactly who he is.
It's just not yours today. It's actually kind of kind.
Yeah.
It's like, maybe tomorrow.
Yeah, not today. Greer is the hardest foul. Attell.
Yeah, well, they change the energy of the room.
Colin. Who else was there?
They literally changed the atmosphere. That's why it's difficult. You got to ride out the change of energy back to you when you walk up after like a tell.
And when I got there, that's when train wreck had just happened.
Uh-huh.
So Amy was in there nightly.
Right.
Like it was a lot to
yeah.
walk into.
Yeah. It's so great though. I mean,
it's so cool.
Yeah, it's the fire. It's like
yeah.
Are you going to stay or are you going to be burned up?
It's still, you still get lost. That's the one place my wife will not call me and be like, where are you? Because she understands getting lost in the table.
Oh my God.
Where it's like 3 o'clock and you're just like, oh, I've been sitting here talking shit for this long.
You literally know when you get off, all right, if I go out the front door, I can get home. By 11. If I go upstairs, it's a hostage situation.
It's so good. You get caught in that corner.
Yeah. It's the best. It's so good.
You're beloved there. You have your own style of nachos.
That's right.
Yeah. Tom Papa style.
I was grandfathered in. That was me and Geraldo and Colin and Nick DiPaolo. And that was all like when Manny was around, which you never got to meet Manny.
No, I never got to meet Geraldo either.
Yeah.
That was one I've always wanted. I was always looked up to him coming
yeah.
up.
Yeah. No, that makes perfect sense. That makes real sense. He's a Queens boy.
His son was working there this summer.
I know.
Yeah, really nice kid.
I know.
Really, really nice kid.
He's such a nice kid. I couldn't believe when he was... And his other son was going to get a job at New York Comedy Club.
Really?
I don't know if he ended up doing it, but yeah, it was pretty great that they both wanted to go and just be around there.
Yeah.
It's like, that's a pretty profound thing.
To understand that you want to do that at that young, too.
Yeah, and just to be, in a lot of ways, it's like to be as close to Greg as you kind of can. Like, yeah. That was his world. That
but
was
then
his...
every comic gets wasted and wants to tell a story.
Yeah, I'm sure. The poetic part of it probably runs out pretty quickly. He's like, I'm going back to school. No, but they're beautiful kids.
They're great. Yeah. Greg's really cool. I really enjoyed him this summer being there. He was really nice.
No, it's really pretty remarkable, and a big credit to Marianne, his wife, that they are like those great little people.
Yeah.
That was a big blow, but it would have been, that's a shame. Like, I mean, not a shame, but yeah, I guess it's a shame, but you would have loved meeting Greg for sure. And Manny from, who, you know, built the whole thing, Noam's father, those were, he would drive us home at the end of the night.
Really?
And he was always like,
I just take the Artie Fuqua ride home.
Yeah. No, Manny was the worst driver in the world. He could not drive, and he would have to go up to Westchester after every night, and he'd get his burger and food, and we'd go to the parking garage, and he would drive us, and he would be on 6th Avenue, like, going 10 miles an hour. We were like, oh, Greg would text me, like, I got home.
Noam sitting in your lap.
Noam in the car seat. And, but because of those old days, I have my own nachos. I got grandfathered in, for
That's
sure.
That's great.
But it is a family, and it's amazing how it's an extended family, because, you know, you have all of the crew that you came in with, and...
Yeah, with Joe Liss and Mark Normand and Sam Morrell. Yeah, no, it was really, I really love like the guys in my class. They've always been really good to me too.
Yeah.
And I definitely worked different than a lot of them, and they always respected it.
What do you mean?
I mean, I have always wanted to be like an actor and right. all that stuff. And like stand up is definitely something I'm beyond passionate about.
Yeah.
But like those guys write differently, work differently. And we all just have this awesome mutual respect for each other.
Right. You really did stand out in the King of Staten Island.
Thank you.
It was just like, I don't even know if I knew you yet when
I
that
don't
came
think
out.
So.
And but just in that first scene, it was just like, oh, I mean, you popped. Like that's a pretty unusual thing.
I mean, Judd really let me go off. Like, uh-huh. He really let me have my time in there, and like he just makes it so easy to be creative.
Right.
You've worked with him?
Yeah, not in his films, no.
No?
No.
Just Crashing?
Not even Crashing, just stand-up.
Oh.
Yeah.
But I just think his environment that he makes is just smart. Like, it makes you so comfortable to go out and do things you wouldn't do.
Right, right.
In front of other directors or
people
in comedy.
Yeah, well, it's because he comes from comedy, right? Like.
Yeah.
Right? It gives you that thing. So did you feel the love after that? Did you feel?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Right away.
Really?
And just even like within the industry, which was really cool.
That is really cool.
Just, but at the same time, like me and Judd just kept working together, and that's been the coolest thing.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, because he's somebody I've always looked up to.
Right.
And like for a long time, like I remember being around him at the Cellar, but we didn't know each other. So it was just like kind of stay away from him.
Right.
And then when he like finally came around to working with me, like we just work really well together.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah,
he's such a cool guy. He's got such a good just a good comedic mind. Like he has the gift of making you feel comfortable, and like it's just you're just hanging with another comic, but then you just see like the things he brings up when he's trying to articulate what's going on artistically. You're like, oh, he's much wiser than just the guys hanging out here. Like,
but that was the cool thing about it. Like, I came in and he ended up putting me as one of the punch-up writers on the movie, and then also I would just stand next to him and hand him jokes that I thought was funny during scenes. And he puts you in a place where you never feel uncomfortable to pitch, and you never like. But at the same time, he also doesn't make you feel weird for asking questions.
Right.
And I'm one of these people that will ask any questions.
Right, right.
From a young age, I've talked about it a bunch, but like when I started, I wrote letters to every comedian I liked.
Oh, really?
Only one wrote me back.
Really?
And it was Aziz Ansari.
Really?
And now he's a very close friend of mine.
Wow.
But like when I was super young, he was just writing me back and like giving me all this awesome like advice.
Wow.
And
that's amazing.
Like I've always been like not embarrassed to ask questions. And Judd is great.
Right.
With that.
Right.
Yeah.
Oh, that's great.
Because I do want to direct and produce one day.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You have some ideas?
Oh, yeah. which are moving forward, and we're doing all the stuff that
we cool.
need to do. Yeah.
Oh, that's awesome.
So, yeah.
And is there a role for a comedian with glasses who
Absolutely.
Bakes bread?
Tom, I would love to have you on. Just have you at craft services with the bread. Just, no, I'm playing.
Tom, we have an opportunity for you. It's a little outside the box, but hear me out.
Stop it.
You love bread. People love that you love bread.
It's like I said, your bread is a small circle. It's a small
circle. It is small, and I really regret. I was like, I'm not going to bring him bread, because I get given bread a lot on the road. And people come to my shows and bring bread.
Do you take that?
Yeah, I do.
Why? Do you try it?
Sometimes, if it looks good.
I treat it like... that I can't do. Like, even weed. My people to give me weed, yours
right.
give you bread.
Yeah.
And even I'm like, I don't know. I'm sorry.
But think about like how devious and evil plan it would have to be for someone to like go after your... I'm going to recruit a middle-aged woman. She's going to bake the bread. She's going to get tickets to Tom in Wisconsin. She's going to hold on to him for a year, and then we're going to poison it.
You just gave them the plan.
I can't help it, though. It is my weakness. Maybe that there's worse ways to go out.
What's the headline? What's the headline when it goes down?
Yeah, something with baked.
Yeah.
Something, yeah. Yeah, I don't know.
You like acting.
Gluten-free. Yes, I love acting. Yeah. I started as an actor, really.
Really?
Yeah, because I always wanted to be a comic as a kid, but I went to college in New Jersey.
Which one?
Ryder College.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it was very much like yours. It just hasn't closed yet.
Yeah.
And I just went into the theater department.
You don't look
there.
Like a guy that went to a college with a commercial.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I do. That makes me feel good about my future. Now I know what you're talking about
right.
when it comes out
yeah.
to
the way I describe Ryder is it's down the street from Princeton.
Yeah.
Which it was. It was like I used to deliver food. I used to deliver buffalo wings as my job. I would have my car and I would deliver wings.
Strictly wings.
Strictly to Princeton, the kids at Princeton. And there was what was the name of it? Not McCarter. That was the theater. But then there was like what was when kids go away to school for high school?
Boarding school.
Boarding school.
Yeah.
And there was
yeah.
a boarding school in Princeton that was all like the senator's kids and you know 11-year-old, and I used to deliver them food.
I was like, when was your first stand up?
1993, June 12th, 1993.
Wow.
Yeah. At the New York Comedy Club. And Greg Giraldo was the only,
was
the only
so
other
cool.
comic on it.
I'm just looking at my future right now.
Yeah.
I'm very happy.
Yeah, yeah. And we became best friends immediately. He was the only one there. He was no beard.
Wow.
And he was freaking out, so nervous to perform in front of six people, five of which I brought. And yeah, and it was pretty great. But it was acting. It was all acting in college. I just did all the plays and all the classes and all the stuff. And then, but then when I got out, it was like, oh, I have to audition. I would bang around New York. I was like, how's this going to happen? And then saw the Village Voice. I could go just call this number. And they gave me June 12th to go on stage if I brought a couple friends. And I was like, well, this is easy. I'm like, what you were talking about when they'd put sprinkle pros into those shows.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, this is... I was keenly aware this is a back door into show business. Like, if I'm going to share the stage with Jon Stewart.
Exactly.
Tonight,
yeah.
If I'm really funny.
It's so accessible.
It's accessible.
And I think that's what made me right away stay.
Right.
When I was able to, like, be, like, near the guys
yeah.
that I watched the half hours of when I was sitting with my brother.
Right.
And
right.
being like, they're right there.
Yeah,
this is amazing. But yeah. it's so funny when you start in comedy, you just believe all those guys are millionaires. Like you yeah. just think they're doing so good. Their lives must be amazing.
Wow.
They live in penthouses.
I know.
And then you slowly meet them and you're like, oh, I got to start acting.
I have a nicer apartment.
Yeah. They're living with their mom too.
Yeah. Oh my God. There's definitely, it's very rare. There's maybe two or three guys that just did pure stand up as the route.
Attell,
Chappelle, Sebastian.
No.
Right? Like those guys didn't have any television, any acting until.
That's why
they became really big without that stuff.
Do you think Chappelle would be as big without the Chappelle Show?
No.
Yeah, I agree because that came out while I was in high school.
Right.
And I remember it took over my high school.
Yeah.
It took it. Like we were just, I'm Rick James, bitch, to our teachers. You're right. Like just totally inappropriate. But I remember it like the days after things came out.
Yeah.
It was crazy in high school.
Yeah, that's a really good point.
He like went viral without the internet.
Right. Yeah. No, that was really, that's so great to think of it taking over high school. so great, so powerful.
It was on like a weird day too. It wasn't on like a Thursday.
Yeah,
it was like a Wednesday.
Yeah. No, that was a huge thing. He's going through it right now. It's interesting. I mean, I don't think he's going through it. I think everybody around him is fighting about it.
I don't
think he's really that concerned. You know what I mean?
I haven't watched it.
I watched it.
So I feel ignorant having an opinion.
Yeah, you can't. My nephew literally texted me. He's a really smart kid. And he's like, what do you think about the Chappelle thing? And I was about to text him back. I'm like, this is bigger than a text. And so I delayed. And then he wrote back, haven't seen it yet. And I said, well, watch it and we'll talk. Because what are we talking about? And then we're just talking about other people's opinions and other people's little sound bites. But it is pretty interesting to you should check it out for sure.
Yeah.
Just because it's he mixes in, I didn't want to get into it too much, but he mixes in like this. He mixes in, I love you all. I love all people. I love everybody. And then he'll slam you with a joke. You know, so he'll be like, I love this group of people. And then here's a heinous joke about it. And you either buy that he loves you and that we're all friends and we can laugh about it, or you don't buy that he really loves you and he's using that as a device to shit on you. It's a very complex thing. But, you know, that's what art is. It's something that he put something out and the conversation is still going on weeks after.
No.
So that's a pretty powerful thing.
No, I've definitely seen write-ups about it, but I haven't had the time really with all the press and all this going on in the last 2 weeks. It's been wild.
Yeah. Well, you got your own special.
I'm sick of watching it.
Yeah. I know, exactly.
Isn't that the most brutal?
So brutal. But you know what? That's the way it's supposed to go. You're supposed to be like into it and then you walk away. And
do the edit and you're just sitting there and you hate yourself by the end of it.
I know. The first watch is the hardest, though.
It was my favorite.
It was your favorite?
Yeah.
The first
time I watched it was my favorite. Yeah, because, I mean, I didn't get to see any of the shots that night. I didn't get... And I worked with Michael Bonfiglio. Mm-hmm. Do you know him?
No.
He did the Patrice documentary.
Oh, okay.
He's doing the Carlin one now. He did Seinfeld special and Goldman's.
Oh, wow.
And he's just like... The shots are... beautiful.
Really?
Like, yeah, no, he did an incredible job shooting this thing.
That's great.
Yeah.
See, there's not really a cinematographer or director that could shoot a shot beautiful enough of a close-up of my face and chins for me to call it beautiful. There's no way. You could take someone from The Godfather.
It's not even that. I'm not looking there jerking off to myself, Dom.
How about throwing up when you see it?
I need
to have the first one wash over me. I'm like, okay, that's what I look like. And I have to, I'm thinking that the whole first way through. And then I can watch it objectively. But that first one is brutal.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, yours is so good.
Oh, thank you.
And you're in this cool spot because you can tell that it's a lot of times people have, like we said, like purely the stand-up thing, and then people kind of come in out the back door after they've been acting. You seem to have like built up this without, I don't even know if it's planned or not, but you've built up this kind of pyramid where you're going to put in that block on both sides, and you're...
I've never done any stand-up on television.
Yeah.
Zero. And I've been touring for like 6-7 years consistently now.
Yeah.
So it's like, I'm really excited to get this out.
It's so great. It's such a cool thing to like have it be on HBO, which is a classically a great place for stand-up.
Where I used to watch stand-ups.
Right.
And like, I've watched my favorites and like on it. So it just feels... Yeah. Once I saw those letters come up, I was like, this is fucking cool.
Yeah. Oh, man, this is awesome. It's cool. It's so great. Well, this is so good. I'm glad we got to spend some time.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah,
seriously.
For sure. And we'll hook up in New York.
Please, Tuesday.
We're going to do the thing on Tuesday.
Yeah,
yeah,
that's
going to
be great.
This box is yours.
I am
enjoy it.
Gonna
you've got
slam
some biscotti
them in an Uber.
And some cannolis. Yeah, get it in an Uber. And when you're done with it, you're going to retire from pastries.
Yeah, and it's also why my rating's so bad.
Right.
Like, he ate too many pastries in the back of this car.
My car is covered in powdered sugar. All right, man. Thanks.
Thank you.
All right. Got it, Aaron. All right, everybody, that's another edition of Breaking Bread. I hope you had a good time. I hope you enjoyed Ricky. Go check out his special for sure. Go to my website, tompapa.com. My family reunion tour is out and rolling. We're going all over the United States of Americas. And you can also get linked up to my What a Joke and the books and all the rest of it. Make sure you like and subscribe to this podcast. It really does help. Give us the comments. Keep the conversation going. You guys are the best. Enjoy your day. We'll see you next time.